The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill. This is our monthly Fun Fact Friday Ask Bill episode, where I answer specific real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through online portals such as BiggerPockets.com and Quora.com. One of our goals here at Old Dogs REI Network is to help educate and enlighten fellow real estate investors to share what little knowledge I have by answering questions you may have to help other investors to just broaden their understanding of real estate investing and to hopefully avoid some of the mistakes that can set you back a bit when you're trying to move forward and to build up a rental portfolio. Well, let's just jump in. We've got a number of questions today. Normally, I kind of check in with you and make sure you're doing okay. And I'm trusting that that is the case. But I also don't want to keep you on too long here. So I'm kind of forfeit just a little update on some of the stuff I'm doing so we can jump into some of these questions. The first question is from a man named Nick. He says, "Hey, Bill, I recently listened to you on the Bigger Pockets podcast. I am currently a sophomore in college. I attend Central Michigan University, and I recently became interested in expanding my financial intelligence and creating a better cash flow for myself. I'm interested in learning more about real estate and learning how to invest in real estate. I was wondering what tips you have for me as a beginner in real estate investing with little money to work with, and what you think I could do right now to help me get started on this journey. Thanks a ton in advance." Well, thank you, Nick, for writing to us here. And congratulations, you are already on the right track because you have discovered, while you're still young, the value of real estate investing as a means to generate cash flow and to create financial independence. Now, you mentioned a number of things. You said you want to learn more about real estate, learn how to invest, tips as a beginner with little money, and what you can do right now to get started on the journey. So I'll try to address all these areas as best I can. My first suggestion would to be get educated on the basics and fundamentals of real estate investing. I mean, I stress this a lot in many other shows as well. The better educated you are, the less likely you are to, you know, to make the big mistakes. You're always going to make mistakes. That's just part of the learning process. But you'll make less severe ones if you have a pretty good education, if you can. Now, I know there's many types of real estate investing, and you really didn't specify where you want to go, but be aware, there are a lot. You could be a passive investor and invest in things like REITs or crowdfunding, syndications. You could do rental properties, Airbnb vacation rentals, commercial real estate, fix and flip, wholesale, speculation, lease options, or rent to own, buy trust deeds or tax liens, raw land, hard money lender, self-storage, mobile home parks, or ground-up development. One thing you need to do as early on as you can is to determine your strategy and your niche. I mean, sometimes it's one of these things where you're looking at 1,000 different deals. You got that, the shiny object syndrome. Oh, you know, I'd like to do a little bit of that, but I'd also like to do a little of this. And maybe that's possible somewhere down the road. But when you start out, you need to really focus and be as focused as you can, especially if you're, you really got a time frame you're setting up for yourself. The education process is key. And in that, I think you'll zero in on which particular strategy you'll like to go after. This is where you read, listen to podcasts, watch webinars, YouTube videos, read blogs. You may even sign up for some sort of home study program or go to boot camps and things of that nature. And you'll be exploring various real estate investing options out there. I'd recommend that you listen to our old dog podcast number 006 entitled How to Get Started in Real Estate Investing. There I go into a lot more detail about the six steps that you need to do to become a successful real estate investor. Secondly, you mentioned the money issue. Well, if you don't have much money, you should also learn the basics of low and no money down investing. Yes, it's real and people do it all the time. But no, it does take more effort and time than conventional investing. It will also take a little longer to get started and find those types of deals that qualify, but you can do it. Some people start off by learning wholesaling, for example, which is a great way to get started when you have little or no money. In wholesaling, you can find distressed properties and or desperate sellers and get their permission to sell their property without actually buying it. Basically, you get paid from the money over and beyond what the seller wants, and that amount is the amount that you get paid. Wholesalers can make a few thousand or tens of thousands of dollars. I've even heard of over $100,000 flipping properties. You can even flip apartments. It just depends. This is a great way for you to get the funds you need to start buying rental properties. And there's some that have been on our show that have talked about, what they'll do is they'll flip three and then they'll keep one. They'll flip three, they'll keep one. So, they're using that profit from the ones that they're flipping or wholesaling and using that to buy rental properties. So there's different strategies there as well. I mean, if that seems too complicated, then my suggestion would be just to find somebody or OPM, somebody else's money, other people's money, to invest in your projects and with the idea that they're going to get a piece of the action or the profit off of that property. Sometimes it could be a family member, relative, friend, or someone that just believes in what you're doing that wants to invest. Once you get some cash flowing properties, then you can start building up equity and you can leverage your properties to purchase others and, move in that direction. There's a couple of podcasts I'll put in the show notes that are excellent to talk about the power of leverage and some examples of people that have done this very successfully. You can also house hack. My son just graduated from high school and he's moving out of state to go to college. At age 18, and he's only had a part-time job working at a grocery store, he was able to qualify for an FHA loan. That's right. He and his buddy will be living in one of a four-unit complex, or they may get a house, a large house, and live in one of the rooms and rent out the other rooms, okay? So that the other tenants in that place are paying their rent, so they don't have to pay any rent while they're going to college. That's a great way. It's called house hacking, and after 1 year, they will meet the owner-occupied requirements of the loan, and then they can go into another house and or a small multifamily to do the same thing. And their hope is before they complete college is to have 3 to 4 rental properties to begin their careers as real estate investors. There are a number of young people discovering that early entry into real estate investing can be a smart route to go, even before you graduate college. There's a great book entitled Set for Life. It's written by Scott Trench, who works at Bigger Pockets, which shows young people that by starting out with a life of frugality, smart investing, and building up passive cash flow, you can position yourself early on for financial independence. In other words, you don't have to worry about graduating and jumping into a job you hate just so you can pay back your student loans. Instead, you can still get your degree, but you can maybe even do it student loan free if you make the right real estate investments. And there won't be pressure to jump into a job you don't like. just again to pay back those loans. Instead, what you'll have when you graduate is a certain degree of financial independence, where you can still enjoy travel, you know, travel the world, enjoy your youth and that travel experience. You can even work in a job you really love, no matter what it pays. I mean, I've known people to do this. They go into like the Peace Corps, or they go in the mission field, and they are able to do things that they love, even volunteer, and not have to worry about making enough money to pay back student loans or just to make ends meet, because they've got that steady cash flow coming in. Scott was a guest on my podcast where he shared exactly what he is doing and how he is setting himself up for life through real estate investing and other smart financial, personal financial strategies. You can listen to that show. I'll have a link in the show notes here too. The interview is great because it's packed full of a lot of how-to information, tips that'll be helpful for you. Well, I hope that helps you answer your question, or at least helps get you started. Let's go on to question number two. This is from a guy named Clinton. No, not Bill. No, it's just a Clinton guy. Okay, his first name. Thank you for all the content. I really enjoy your podcast. I am brand new and have not done a deal yet. 48 years of being comfortable got in the way. I've been a super in New York City for the past 14 years. I have managed 1,500 units in that time. I live on site and love my job and make a good salary. I don't have enough capital to play in New York City, but, you know, I mean, even their distressed properties are like $400,000. I wanted to start buying real estate, and after hearing your podcast a couple of weeks ago, contacted one of your guests, and I'll leave the name anonymous here, reached out to him. Nonetheless, he didn't email back. My apologies there. I want to start my portfolio. Do you recommend a turnkey company that will respond? Sorry for the long-winded email. Clinton, it sounds like you're off to a great start. And you already have a huge advantage. In fact, your extensive property management background will be a big plus because you already understand sort of the process, the whole rental process and the landlording aspect of it. Plus, you've got a good salary to start with. It's much easier to get started when you have a W-2 income, at least to get started. That's why I recommend people do it before they retire. It's much easier than going on a 1099 just on the financing part of things. First off, you know, I'd make a comment about guests. My apologies. We try to screen our guests as best as possible. We are not always, you know, aware of the fact that, you know, these folks may not get back to people and they may not be good to necessarily do business with. So, you know, that's upsetting to me. And some people we have actually taken their podcasts off our feed because we really found out that they were not being equitable and so forth. Some might just be busy and maybe they don't get back to people. But in either way, I would, you know, I'm going to give you a name of somebody that I think will get back to you. Plus, I will make myself available as well. So we do try to screen people as best we can. We don't always, you know how the guests are going to respond to people calling, but we hope the information is helpful for you nonetheless. Anyway, on to your interest in real estate investing. 48 is by no means too late to get started. You are young. You can do a lot of things. You got a lot of time ahead of you. I started in my late 50s, and I've had numerous other guests who have started late as well. What's important is you know exactly what you want to do and establish a good plan. In that plan, you outline exactly what you want to do and when you want to accomplish it, by what date. That way, you aren't just spinning your wheels and kind of going around with the shiny object syndrome. You actually have a strategic plan that builds on itself. I would recommend that you listen to one of our most recent podcasts, episode 231, with teacher Mike Swanee. Swan. Okay, so Swanee is his nickname. He had a low salary. I was teaching at parochial schools, and he started off at age 46. And at age 53, okay, so that's not that many years later, he started out with absolutely nothing. He actually was able to cash in some 401k money, IRA money, to purchase some condos. And he bought right, and they accumulated a fair amount of equity, and he used that equity to leverage into rental properties. At 53, okay, not that many years later, he has $7 million in rental properties and an annual cash flow, and this is just from his rental properties, approaching $200,000 a year. Okay, so if this guy can do it, you can. And he is a guy that is approachable. And he's probably going to, after I air this, I'm sure he's going to call me and say, yeah, why'd you ask so many people to call me? But no, he's really approachable, and he'd be happy to take your call. And if he doesn't, I will take your call, okay? I just think he's got a great story, and it sounds very comparable to the things that you're dealing with. So give him a call. I think it'd be worth it. And like I said, I'd be happy to talk to you anytime as well. Okay, let's get into our third question. This is a Quora question. It says, since the fertility rate is decreasing and the population is aging in the U.S., is it likely that demand for real estate will be lower in 20 years? Well, first off, this is a big one to approach, but generally when you're investing in real estate, you always look at the local level. You know, you can look at national numbers, and it doesn't really mean that that's the way it's going to be for the local market that you pick to invest in. So I would recommend finding an emerging market and track their population and job growth. Follow the trends that are going on in that region. And you know, look at 5 to 10 year periods. If you've had a steady increase in population in 5 or 10 year period, it's a pretty good chance that that's a good place to invest. But you want to look at all the other factors as well, like job, economic growth, rental demand, rent rate increases, rising property values, and so forth. Regarding the data you're looking at regarding U.S. population, and again, I don't know if you're just kind of speculating because there's big baby boomer generation and you know, then you got the millennials and all that and so forth. You really need to understand that projected population levels in the U.S., besides looking at, you know, U.S. residents and citizens, you also got to look at immigration. This is a major factor in the U.S. population numbers. The population in the U.S. continues to grow today, driven by a high level of immigration. The latest data from the Census Bureau shows that U.S. population growth is running between 0.7% and 0.9% per year. A 2015 Census Bureau report suggests that growth will slow somewhat, but it projects a 2060 population of 417 million, with the country crossing the 400 million threshold somewhere around 2051. More than 43.7 million immigrants resided in the United States in 2016. Okay, that's a big chunk, accounting for 13.5% of the total U.S. population of 323.1 million, according to the American Community Survey, ACS data. Immigrants and their U.S.-born children now number approximately 86.4 million people, or 27% of the overall U.S. population, according to the 2017 current population survey. In 2016, about 49% of immigrants, 21.2 million, were naturalized citizens. The remaining 22.5 million included lawful permanent residents, unauthorized immigrants or illegal immigrants, and legal residents or temporary visas, such as students and temporary workers. Of the 21.2 million naturalized citizens, more than 25% were naturalized between 2010 and 2016, 32% between 2020 and 2009, and 44% prior to 2000. I'm sorry for all the numbers, but I'm trying to make a point here that in addition to looking at the average number of children per household, you've got to look at certain groups immigrating to the U.S. have a much higher child per family, number of children per family, than American averages, which can range from, you know, 1.2 to 2 per couple. The U.S. average household is much smaller than some of the immigrant groups entering the U.S. So, you know, we may have, you know, the American population as a whole, you know, 1 to 2 per family, where you've got others coming in where 5, 6, 8 is not unusual. So, those factors also will affect it. So once you factor in the high immigrant populations, you'll see that the U.S. population is growing at a much more rapid pace than you would expect. Over a very short period of time, the ethnic mix and the population levels will shift dramatically. Therefore, all that to say, The demand of housing is not going to decrease. In fact, it will only increase. In a recent Wall Street Journal article dated March 18, 2018, it said that America is facing a new housing crisis. After a decade of an epic construction binge, fewer homes are being built per household than at almost any time in U.S. history. The demand is greater than the supply. Therefore, especially as home prices increase, the demand for rental properties will skyrocket in the near to distant future. So if you are looking at real estate investing and you're specifically looking at investing in rental properties, there's a great opportunity out there. Again, it's a regional business. You've got to look at regional markets because some areas are declining, but you want to pick the winning markets that have strong job growth and strong economies and strong population growth. So those are the factors you're going to want to look for. But overall, it's a promising place to be, at least for the next 10 to 20 years. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today, especially all those numbers I just blurbed out there, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog and look for the Ask Bill episode. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.